Hello, 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 everybody. Hello, one, hello, we're all, wherever you are in the world. We are back on this Facebook Live as we continue with this great subject that I truly do believe that God is blessing and He is empowering. I do see a lot of your comments. I do see a lot of your encouraging questions as we journey together on this subject of forgiveness. I'm really thankful and grateful that you have given me your time to be your coach on this great subject. Forgiveness, by the way, it's a lifelong subject. You keep learning, and growing, and you never run out of forgiving. You never get to a point where you cannot learn something. So it's a lifelong growth and learning that you have. Let's pray together before we get started. Father God, thank you so much for this moment. Open our hearts, open our minds, help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Listen, I want us to talk about, I'm going to teach on forgiving others, it is a very, very powerful thing, forgiving others. My friends, it is very important for you to understand, child of God, wherever you are in your walk with God, or even if you do not yet believe God, I want to talk to you because ignoring issues never make them go away. And the greatest temptation that the human heart has is to ignore issues. We keep sweeping issues under the carpet, hoping that they will go away. But the more you sweep under the carpet, one day you're going to discover there is a big hump because of all the stuff that's under the carpet. So ignoring issues never make them go away. Then the question becomes, how do we forgive others? How can I forgive somebody who has hurt me? I'm glad you came to the right place, and I'm here as your coach as we progress on purpose on this issue of forgiving others. And I'm going to take us through scripture for a minute because I really want us to look at this thing. There's a verse in the Bible, a very powerful verse in the Bible, that makes forgiving others something that has to happen in your life in order for you to become what God wants you to be. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. If you're a believer, this is one text I want to share with you. If you don't believe, listen, just hang in there. I'm going somewhere with you, for we are going to teach this subject of forgiving others from a practical, a relevant, and a biblical perspective. That's the preacher and the teacher that I am. It has to be practical, it has to be relevant, and it has to be Bible-based. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15 says, listen to this. It says, for if you forgive men, if you forgive people their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Listen to 15. But if you do not forgive people, if you do not forgive man their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Okay? If you forgive people their trespasses, God will also forgive you. Also, that word also, it means you are forgiven as you forgive. And then verse 15 says, but if you do not forgive people their wrongs or their transgressions or trespasses, then your Father will not. So in other words, my forgiveness unties God's hand to forgive me and to bless me. Okay? So I just wanted to get to understand something that is very important. Who are you so angry at that you are willing to mess up how your story ends? Who are you so angry at? Who has hurt you so much that you are willing to say, God, don't bless me because I won't forgive them? All right? So I'm going to coach you on how to forgive somebody. Listen, hurts are real. There are some people who have gone through, have lost a lot of things, reputation, your name. Some might even have lost their virginity. Others might have lost their employment, their careers because somebody hurt you. So it's painful. But God is saying, as you forgive others, you will be forgiven. Let me share with you 9 reasons why you want to forgive. 9 reasons why you want to forgive. Here it is. Whether you are a Christian, non-Christian, it doesn't matter. If you're a human being, here are 9 reasons I'm going to share with you why you want to forgive those who hurt you. Okay? Pastor, why should I forgive them? I'll give you 9 reasons why you want. Why you want. Not why you should, but why you want. It has to be a decision. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a decision. So number one, you want to forgive because you want control. You want control. Forgiving others gives you control. Okay? Anybody that you are not forgiving, they control you. So you want to forgive because you want control. What does that mean? You want to take responsibility for you. Okay? You want to forgive because you want control. If you want control, listen to me. If you want control, you want to forgive. Because when you forgive, you take responsibility for you. And number two, why do I want to forgive? Well, you want to forgive because you want peace. You want peace. Where there's no forgiveness, there's no peace. Where there's no forgiveness, there's no peace. I see Pastor Drew. Thank you, sir, for coming along. Here it is. Where there's no forgiveness, there's no peace. You want to forgive because you want peace. I'm telling you right now. No forgiveness, no peace. Okay? Why do I want to forgive, Pastor Cambisi? Because you want to move on. If you don't forgive, you will remain at the site of the accident. You'll remain at the site of the pain. If you don't forgive, you are still tied to the hurt that came your way. So you want to forgive because you want to move on. You want to go past the hurt and you want to go beyond the pain. The only medium past the hurt, beyond the pain, is forgiveness. That's why God says, listen, if you do not forgive people, I won't forgive you. If you forgive them, you are forgiven as you forgive. If you want to move on past the hurt, beyond the pain, you want to forgive. Number four, here it is. You want to stop being a doormat. You want to forgive because you want to stop being a doormat. You know what forgiveness does? When you forgive somebody, you are saying to them, I am someone. You are standing up on your own feet. Forgiveness gives you strength to stand up and you cease to be a doormat. I'm telling you right now, there are some people who you are enabling to keep on hurting you because you are not forgiving them. The day you make the choice, you make the decision to forgive them is the day you say to yourself and to your universe, I am stopping today from being a doormat. You know why? Because forgiveness is calling a spade a spade. And I want you to understand something, child of God, that many people that are our friends, that are in our lives, there are so many people in your life who haven't really heard you tell and describe to them what it is that they've done to you. There are so many people who run out of your life if you were to call a spade. And that's what forgiveness does. Forgiveness is opening your eyes. Forgiveness is not approval. Forgiveness is not giving in. But forgiveness is acknowledging the hurt. I cannot forgive what I haven't acknowledged. I must find the source of my hurt. I must find it. I must seek it. And when I do, I must own up to it. Okay, so it's very, very important for you to understand that you want to forgive because you want to stop being a doormat. People who don't forgive, you remain a doormat. Have you ever had somebody who did something wrong to you till the day you told them this was wrong? Some of them never thought you were actually feeling the hurt. Forgiveness empowers you to say, stop it. I'm not a doormat. All right? Okay. Number five, you want to forgive because you want to avoid bitterness. You want to avoid bitterness. Let me tell you something. Unforgiveness and bitterness, they are twins. Don't tell me, Pastor, I won't forgive them, but I'm not bitter. No. Unforgiveness gives birth to a child, to a healthy child called bitterness. And there's nothing redeemable about bitterness. Can I talk to you? Have you ever seen a happy, bitter person? No, there's no way. So unforgiveness, I gotta forgive because I want to avoid bitterness. Okay, if I want to be happy for me, if I want to take responsibility for my joy, take my responsibility for my freedom, take my responsibility for my peace, I gotta forgive. Why? Because I want to avoid bitterness. Listen to me. Someone is listening right now. Anybody who makes you bitter controls you. Anybody who that's why Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15 says, listen, be careful lest somebody misses on the grace of God, and the root of bitterness grows and causes trouble. Bitterness is, there are so many bitter people in this world. Bitterness will rob you of you. So you want to forgive because you want to avoid. You avoid bitterness with everything you got. I'm telling you, you know how the Bible says? The Bible simply says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, it says, let it go. Let all bitterness, put it away. That's what the Bible says. Don't embrace bitterness. Don't grow bitterness. Don't develop bitterness, because bitterness causes trouble. Bitterness will dry you up. And unforgiveness gives birth to that. So I got to forgive everybody. I got to forgive everybody for everything, every time, because I want to avoid bitterness. And some of you who may be joining us for the first time, you may say, Pastor, how can I forgive everybody? Well, if you come on my timeline, you're going to discover that we have been on a journey. We've been on a journey. Forgiveness is one way. Forgiveness needs one person. A minimum of one person. Reconciliation, restoration needs a minimum of two people, because it takes two to mend a broken relationship. But forgiveness just needs one, because forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a decision. All right? And forgiveness is not trust. Forgiveness is not approval. Forgiveness is not giving in. Forgiveness is you saying, I'm taking responsibility for my life. So you can forgive. Here's again, I'll say this again. You may forgive someone who died. You can forgive your mother for dying when you were young. You were angry because how could she die? How could she do this? How could she leave me alone? And you were angry, and you can make a choice right now to forgive her even when she's not there. So forgiveness is a decision. Okay, some people say, Pastor, it's a decision process, but the process never begins before you unconditionally give up the debt on the offender. Okay, let me keep moving with it. Number six, why do I want to forgive? Give me another reason. Well, you want to forgive because you want to be whole. You want to be whole physically, you want to be whole mentally, you want to be whole spiritually, you want to be whole socially, okay? Forgiveness is the way to get it back. Whatever you lost, whatever your offender took away from you, they might have taken away your innocence, taken away your job, taken away your joy, taken away. The only way to get it back, listen to me, the only way to get it back is to forgive. Forgiveness is the way to get it all back. Forgiveness is so powerful. That's why the devil doesn't want us to get it, to understand what it is. And we think it's weakness. No, no, no. Only the courageous can forgive. All right? Why should I forgive? I want to forgive because you want to love. Anybody on this line who wants to love again? I mean, unforgiveness stops you from loving again. One thing I've discovered is that all of us were created not to forever be mad. You cannot be angry at a thing for permanently. No, 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 no. So I want to love again. Unforgiveness. I will have to forgive because I want to love. It's impossible to love with unforgiveness. It is impossible. And I'll say this to you. I'm going to talk about something. We're going to talk about on one of my presentations, I'm going to bring in forgiveness when you are divorced. I'm going to talk about that. How to deal with forgiveness when you are divorced. Because there are so many people who are so full of bitterness because they went through this one experience in life and they never recovered from it. I was reading a book that said, well, it's possible for someone who is divorced to get divorced second, third time easily. That's what psychologists say. Once divorced, it's easy to be divorced again. Well, here is where the kicker is. It is easy for that to happen if you haven't forgiven. Don't get into any next relationship before you forgive the last relationship. Even if you are dating, if your relationship with your boyfriend, girlfriend ends, you need time to grieve on that. You need to bury, have a mini funeral for that relationship before you get started on something else. Otherwise, you're going to bleed on someone who didn't cut you. So I got to forgive because I want to love. I want to love. That's reason enough to forgive somebody. I want to love. You know, I want to love. You cannot live your life without trusting people. You know, there are people I meet all the time. Pastor, come be easy. I cannot trust anyone. I remember a lady who came to a church where I was pastoring, and she said, well, you know, I don't trust pastors. I said, why don't you trust pastors? And she said, well, the last pastor, he did me wrong. I said, lady, come here. You got a choice to make because I'm not the pastor who hurt you. I'm not the pastor who hurt you. I don't know what happened, and I wasn't there when it happened. If you're going to enjoy a ministry under my leadership, you have to trust somebody. Okay? How many of us have had a relative die in an accident? Some of us have been in an accident ourselves. Okay, how many accidents have you seen on the road, Terry, and yet you keep on driving your car? How many people have you seen dead on the road because there was an accident, but you keep on driving your car? You never stop driving because there was an accident on the road. The same thing is true with people. You want to love somebody. You cannot say, I will never love anyone because I was hurt. No. Forgive so that you can love again. Forgiveness creates space for new love. Here's number eight. Oh, listen, I'm excited. Here's number eight. Why do I want to forgive? Okay, stop ignoring issues because they never go away. You must deal with them, and the only way to deal with issues and hurt is through the lenses of forgiveness. And here's one reason why you want to forgive. You want to forgive because you want to break the cycle. Oh my goodness, there's a song that I love, if you can listen to it, Break Every Chain. Break every chain, break every chain. I love that song because once in a while I need to listen to it. You know, break every chain, to break every chain, because hurt people hurt people. So I want to forgive because I want to break the cycle. I want to break every chain of hurting people because I was hurt. So when God says, listen, if you forgive people, I'll forgive you. If you don't forgive them, I won't forgive you. Here's what it is. You have the key to break the cycle. Pastor, you don't know my mother hurt me. You don't understand I was hurt by my brother. You don't understand my pain. You are very right. And your pain is real. Forgiveness is not denial. You are not denying that it's there, but wouldn't you want the hurt that you went through to end with you so that what you didn't experience when you were hurt may become a reality to someone who come your life? So forgiveness. I want to forgive because I want to break the cycle. Hurt people hurt people. I want to forget. I want to break that. Okay? There are some people in this world, if you don't deal with forgiveness, forgiving other people, you become a specialist at hurting other people. It's amazing that some of us, if you're not careful, you discover things that you didn't like in your parents. If you don't break the cycle, are the things that you're doing yourself. I got to forgive somebody. Let me run down for those who have just joined us. Nine reasons why you want to forgive those who hurt you. Number one, you want control. You want control of your life. You want to take responsibility for your peace, responsibility for your freedom, responsibility for your hope. So I got to forgive you. Number two, I got to forgive you because I want peace. I want peace. I want peace. Where there's no forgiveness, there's no peace. If there's no forgiveness in the marriage, there's no peace in the marriage. If there's no forgiveness on the job, there's no peace on the job. If there's no forgiveness in the church, there's no peace in the church. Where you have unforgiveness, you need to understand you have lost your right to have peace there. So you want to forgive, number three, because you want to move on. You want to move on past the pain, beyond the hurt. And the only thing that can give you power to move on is to forgive. Listen to me. If you don't forgive, you will stay at the site of the accident and the pain. People talk about, Pastor, oh, these things give me flashbacks and I have deja vu moments. Yeah, when you don't forgive, you are going to have your finger on the replay button. You'll replay that thing over and over and over again and rob yourself of the joy that you need. So you must forgive because you want to move on. You want to move on. You want to fly. Forgiveness, here's what it is. Can I say it? I was flying one time out of Dayton where I am, and it had snowed, and I got into the airport, got on my plane. Everybody got on the plane. The door was closed, and we were there, Brother Harris, we were there for 30 minutes after the door was closed, Sister Renee, and I was wondering what's going on. And then the pilot came through the speaker, and the pilot said, listen, everybody, everything is ready. We are ready to go, but we have ice. We have ice on the wings of the plane. So you are on this plane ready to go, and we are ready to take you where you're going, but we cannot go because we need to de-ice the plane. Oh God, I feel like preaching. Hear it? We want to de-ice the plane. And I looked through my window and I saw some things flowing, liquids flowing down on my window. Why? Because they had to spray this liquid that would de-ice the plane so that the plane could take off without the heaviness of ice and snow on the wings of the plane. That's what forgiveness does. You cannot fly and take off when you've got the weight of the iciness of unforgiveness. My friend, you got to forgive somebody because you want to move on. You got to forgive somebody because you've got places to go. You've got heights to reach. You've got destinations to go. You've paid your ticket. You are in your seat. You've got your belt locked up. You want to take off. You got to let somebody go. You got to forgive them. They need to understand, you are not too big for me not to forgive you. Listen, you hurt me. It's true you hurt me, but I got to fly somewhere. And I need to de-ice my wings so that I can fly. Come on, somebody, put some hearts over there. Whatever you got to do if you agree with that. So number four, I got to forgive you because I want to stop being a doormat. I want to forgive you because I want to stop being a doormat. If I don't forgive you, I will forever be your doormat. I am tired of being a doormat, and the only way to do it is not to fight you, but is to forgive you. And number five, I want to forgive because I want to avoid bitterness. Bitter people are not happy people. You can play the song. It doesn't matter. You can start with R. Kelly, you know, happy people. If you don't like R. Kelly, you can get on happy like a house without a roof. It's a song if you have bitterness. The only thing that produces joy in your life is when you forgive. Unforgiveness breeds bitterness. So you must forgive because you don't want to give birth to bitterness. Bitterness will make you ugly. I'm not talking about ugly on the inside. Bitterness will make you ugly on the outside because you won't smile. Do you know how beautiful you look when you smile? And you cannot smile when there's ice on your wings. And forgiveness allows you to avoid bitterness. Number six, you want to be whole. You want to be whole. There's a song that I like, Tonics. There's a guy called Tonics. If you want to listen to it, it's a good one. He does this song, Make Me Over Again. Lord, make me over. I want to be whole again. I don't want to succeed with issues. I don't want to do stuff when I am broken and let down. No, I must forgive somebody because I want to be whole. Make me over again. Make me whole again. You cannot be whole with unforgiveness. Forgiveness is the only way to get everything back that your offender took away from you. If it's innocence they took, if it's your virginity that they took, if it's your job that they took, if it's your name that they took, if it's your reputation that they took, I'm here to let you know that forgiveness is the only way to get it back. Because anyone who you do not forgive controls you. Have you ever thought you've forgiven somebody and all that happened was for someone to bring their name up and you started feeling funny? There are so many people that you haven't forgiven who don't even know that you're having sleepless nights because of them. Let them go. Number seven, you want to love. I must forgive because I want to love again. I want to love again. Let me tell you something. You are at your best when you love. You are at your best when you love. There's somebody out there who will love you like you have never been loved again. Simply because you had one accident, you were hurt by one person. There are 8 billion people in the world. Listen to me. There are 8 billion. If you were hurt in California, you were not hurt in Dayton. You were not hurt in Ohio. You're not hurt in Michigan. You are not hurt in Africa. You're not hurt in Europe. You're not hurt in Australia. You're not hurt in China. You need to understand you must let it go. Because you want to love again. Unforgiveness makes you feel like where you are is the only place you can be. No, no, no. Once in a while, go to the airport so that you can see planes taking off. Even in this pandemic, there are planes that are taking off, which means there are other destinations that are yet to be accomplished and achieved by you. And you cannot let one hurt define your life. Listen, I'm not saying you are not hurt. Please get me right. As I'm teaching forgiveness, I get it. I've been hurt before myself. I'm not teaching something that I don't know. And I'm about to get to a very powerful point. I'm just giving you reasons why you should, why you must forgive somebody. And then number eight, you want to break the cycle. Hurt people. It must stop with you. And the only way to stop the cycle of unforgiveness, of hurting people, is forgiveness. It'll break every chain. Break every chain. Forgiveness does. All right? And number nine, the last one here is, you want to improve your relationship with God. You must forgive people because you want to improve your relationship with God. You cannot have a healthy, thriving relationship with God when you have people that you haven't forgiven. That's why Matthew chapter 6, verse 15 says, but if you do not forgive people their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven. You know what that means? Forgiveness unties the hands of God, and you have the key in your hands. So I ask the question again, who are you so mad at that you're willing to mess up how your story ends? God wants to do greater. God wants to take you where God alone can take you. But who is it who has hurt you in your life so bad that you're willing to give them power to mess up how your story ends? So here it is. Let me do this one. So Pastor, how do I do it? How do I break the power of hurt in my life so that I can forgive? Write this down. This is deep. Three verses. I'm going to give them to you and you read them on your own. How to break the power of hurt. I've been hurt in my life. Let me tell you something. I've been hurt in the world. I've been hurt in the church. I've been hurt. I told one person who hurt me, I said, now I understand why people leave the church and never come back again. Because if I didn't know God and if I didn't know me, the hurt you have caused on me would have made me walk out of the church and never come back again. I know what I'm talking about. So how do you break the power of hurt? How do you break? You want to forgive somebody, and the hurt always comes over and over. Sometimes when you watch a movie, you are reminded of the hurt. How do I break the hurt? I'm glad you asked. Listen, it's going to be very simple and yet very powerful. How to break the power of hurt in your life. All right? Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. It's got the answer. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Listen to this. It says, but I say to you, this is Jesus now, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. This is how you break the power of hurt. Listen to this. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You ready for that? The only way to break the power of hurt is to pray for those who hurt you. I'm pausing intentionally. Pray for those who hurt you. That's the most difficult verse in the Bible. Because when you hurt me, the natural response is I need to retaliate. But forgiveness is a choice, is not a weakness, is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a decision that I make for me because I want to be free. That's how powerful forgiveness is. And God says, you want to heal it? Okay, let's break the power of the hurt. Pray for those who use you and spitefully persecute you. It's not that they don't know. They did it knowingly. They did it spitefully. And God is saying the only way to break the power of the hurt is to pray. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Let me tell you something. Do you know that it is sin for you not to pray for someone who hurt you? Yeah, I'm going to give you a verse. It is a sin for you to refuse to pray for someone. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. Listen to this. This is what the prophet said. He says, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Let it be far from me that I should sin against God in ceasing to pray for you. But I'll teach you the good and the right way. So here's Jesus says now, if you want to fix this, pray for them. So let's talk about it. So somebody asked the question, why? How do I pray? Why? What are the benefits for praying? You know, when you look at that word, let me look at it here. When 44, when he says, but I say to you, love your enemies. You saw that? Love your enemies. That word love, which is used there before you pray for your enemies who hurt you, the word love that's used there is agape. Now, I'm not here to make it deep. I don't want deep stuff. I want it to be practical. I want you to grab it and run with it. That word there, you cannot forgive what you don't love. And the type of love that agape is, the agape love is a commitment. Agape implies a commitment to seek the highest good of another. To seek the highest good, a commitment to seek the highest good of another. Now, when somebody has hurt you, the highest good for them is not only money, health, but I think it is salvation. I think the highest good of anybody who has offended or hurt you is you want them to be right with God. Because here's what it is. People cannot hurt you without the assistance of Satan on their side. Paul says, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. In other words, somebody needs to have someone possessing them for them to do what they have done in order for them to hurt you. And here's where the kicker is. I must commit to the highest good of my offender, which is them and God having a living relationship. Now, forgiveness is a serious business. We talk about it. Watch some of the videos that I've done. You'll discover that there's a cost. There's a cost for the offender and there's a cost to the offended. If you are the one who has been offended, when you forgive, you let go of your right to retaliate. That's a cost. All right. So here's what it is. So prayer, why should we pray for those who hurt us? Okay, I'm finishing. Why should we pray for those who hurt us? Why does Matthew 5:44 say, pray and pray? Pastor, do you know how hard it is to pray? He raped me and pray. Pastor, you don't understand. He took away my virginity and pray. Pastor, you don't understand. He caused so much hurt for me and pray. Pastor, you have no idea what I had to, I lost my job. I lost my friends. And God is saying the only way to break the power of the hurt is to pray. Okay, let me help you. Three things, then I'm out of your way. Because when you pray, my friends, prayer redirects your hearts. Prayer redirects our hearts. When we pray, we focus on the need instead of the fault. Why should we pray? We should pray for those who hurt us, because prayer redirects our hearts. It moves us from focusing on the hurt and focusing on the solution. From focusing on the need to hit back, we focus on the need of being better than instead of the foe. Now, some of you say, Pastor, yeah, that sounds good, but you know, go deeper. Two things. I just give you two things, and I'm out of here. Why we should pray for those who hurt us. I've been praying for so many people. Let me tell you something. I used to think that my prayer partners were people who I prayed with. You ready? I used to think that people I pray with, I call and we pray, those are my prayer partners. And God said, no, I want to take you deeper. Your prayer partners are the people who cause you to pray. People who hurt you and you pray for them, those are faithful prayer partners. They cause you to pray. So what are the benefits of praying for somebody who hurt you? Number one, when you pray for them, it insulates you from bitterness. It insulates you from bitterness. The next time you see an electrical cord somewhere in your house or anywhere where you got to use it, you're going to find that there's insulation. There's insulation that wraps the wire. You know why? Because listen, if it's not insulated, the electricity will burn you. But because of insulation, you and I can play with the cord because there's insulation there. So when you pray for those who hurt you, it insulates you from bitterness. In other words, bitterness could come out of the hurt, but because I pray, prayer is the insulation that I wrap around my hurt, because prayer makes sure that I do not produce bitterness from the hurt that I've gone through. So Jesus said, pray for them. Number two. The benefit of praying for those who have hurt you. Thank you, sis. Somebody's watching from the Philippines. I appreciate that. People from all over the world, they're really coming on, because this is a universal issue. Number two, prayer allows us to be controlled by the Spirit, not by the offender. Prayer allows us to be controlled by the Spirit of God and not the offender. When you pray for them, you are saying, listen, I want the Spirit. I want God to control how I feel, to control my emotions, to control my actions, instead of me going forward based on how I feel about my offender. So two benefits for praying for your enemies. Well, number one, it insulates you from bitterness. Number two, it allows you to be controlled by the Spirit of God and not the offender. So my friends, when you refuse to pray for the offender, you give the offender power to control your emotions and your actions. So I choose to pray. I choose to pray on my haters. I choose to pray on those who have hurt. I choose to pray. I will be praying. I'll keep on praying, because I don't want bitterness my way. And guess what? I want God to walk with me. I want the Spirit of God to take control of my life. I know this subject is very serious, very deep, and I'm not taking it lightly. I know things have happened. If you keep on living, life just happens. Something is going to happen. But my friend, ignoring the hurt is hoping that they'll go away is not the way. There are so many people who ignore it. I said it yesterday and I said it again. The church is full of people who are running away from confronting things. Some of the songs we sing in the Christian church actually does not help, but it actually empowers the problem. God says it, and I believe it, and that settles it. That's a lie. Sounds good, but that ain't true. God says it, I believe it, that's it. No. That's cute. I'm a preacher. That's a cute line for a run, and the church goes crazy and people lose their minds, and you get in your car and you discover that you didn't get any tool to deal with it. Forgiveness is not closing your eyes. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a decision. Forgiveness is not choosing to ignore. Forgiveness is acknowledging I am hurt and I choose for me to de-ice my wings so that I can fly. Forgiveness is one gift that you give to yourself. Forgiveness is not for the relationship. If I forgive you, it doesn't mean we need to be friends again. Now, I forgive you so that you can go on your own. I go on my own. Let me tell you something. You are a good Christian if you never, ever have a relationship with someone who hurt you and then you forgave them. Because forgiveness is not trust. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. And next Saturday, by the way, next Saturday, that's when I'm going to talk about the difference between reconciliation and forgiveness. You don't want to miss that, because many of us have mixed the two and we have created more trouble and drama in our lives, because you forgave somebody doesn't mean they need access back into your life. Do you know how many people I counsel every day who, Pastor, we broke up, but well, we have four kids together. After, how did you have four kids after breaking up? Well, you know, I forgave him and he came back and what? No. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Some people, some things cannot be reconciled, because reconciliation takes two people. You cannot reconcile with anybody who does not want to be reconciled with. All right, so let's finish it up. So pray. How do I forgive them? Ultimately, pray. Pray for them. Break the power of hurt. Seek the highest good for them. Allow prayer to redirect your heart so that you focus on the need instead of the fault. Allow prayer to insulate you from bitterness. Bitterness will make you hurt everyone who loves you in your life. Your kids love you. Your siblings love you. But bitterness makes you think that everybody is after you. Bitterness is like glasses. If you put on dark glasses, everything becomes dark. If you put on green glasses, everything becomes green. When you put on blue glasses, everything looks blue. If you put on red, everything becomes... Bitterness is like, it's like a pair of glasses that when you put it on, everything is the same color. But prayer will insulate you from that. Simply because that man broke your heart, there's another man who is looking and praying for a person just like you. You don't need to do nothing else, just you. You don't even need to make up. Somebody will thank God because they found you. Prayer insulates you from bitterness. You know, bitterness is like a perfume. When you have it, people experience it before they experience you. So there are many people who are not getting the job of their dream because people are experiencing, people are smelling bitterness before they see your certifications, that you went to school, that you have the experience. You are the person they need, but the perfume you're putting on of bitterness is driving everybody away. Prayer insulates you. It gives you an aroma of grace. Prayer allows you to be controlled by the Spirit of God and not the offender. I guess I made a case today. That's why the Bible says, don't let the sun go down. Be angry and sin not. And don't let the sun go down in your anger. In other words, God says, put an expiration time to your anger. If somebody has hurt you, put an expiration time to that feeling. Because if that feeling goes past the sunset, it's going to become bitterness. And when it becomes bitterness, it's going to give birth to anger, resentment, defensiveness, and criticism. And I mean, this happens the longer the bitterness goes without it being addressed. It's okay to be angry. Listen to me. It's okay to be angry. But don't sin in it. In other words, whatever made you angry, don't allow it to make you participate and make it worse whilst you're angry. So Jesus says, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Maybe we need to change the way we pray, Sister Renee. We need to change the way we pray. Because we've been praying for our best friends and we've been cussing out our enemies. And God has been saying, that's not how it works. You need to pray for those who spitefully use you because it insulates you from bitterness and it allows me to control you. And guess what? Your heart is directed from the fault to the need. I'll refocus you because you're praying about it. Yes, you can forgive somebody. Give someone the gift of forgiveness for what they've done and what they've caused to you. You are not justifying, you are not approving, you are not trusting them, you are not giving in, but you are simply saying, it's time for me to fly. Forgiveness will de-ice your plane. Listen, there, you cannot fly with the weight of unforgiveness. And you cannot keep anybody down without staying down with them. You are created for the heights. I know it hurts. Somebody's crying right now. I can sense it in my spirit. Somebody's crying because this is real. Somebody's wound has been touched that you thought was healed. But here's what it is. We need clean healing in order for us to look at the scar and not be angry anymore. You can look at the sky and be mad at the person who hurt you, or you can look at the scar and thank God for the healing. Listen, you can look at a scar and say, I have this scar because the doctor, I saw somebody, one of my members had an open heart surgery, and I saw a big scar, big ugly scar, and I had to ask because I was wondering what's going on, and they smiled back and they said, Pastor, I had open heart surgery and it saved my life. The scar may be ugly, but it saved my life. And I'm telling you right now, when you forgive, it may leave a scar, but it will give you a brand new heart. If what I taught today helped you, please leave me a comment so that I can know what to pray for you tonight. If it is you, send me a message in Messenger. If we need to pray, whatever it is, listen, forgiving somebody is going to leave a scar. But let it be a scar of a brand new heart. We're praying. Father, thank you so much for this moment. Listen, we need you all the way. Somebody's here, God, who is drying their tears because, Lord, they remember the pain. They remember what was taken by that offender who came their way. I've been there too, God. You know, and you have walked me through this journey so that, Lord, I could share and empower someone else to continue and begin their own journey. So we pray that, Lord, above everything else, give us the peace of God, the peace of God which surpasseth all understanding. That, Lord, with all these truths, give us peace first. And God, Holy Spirit, help us to apply this truth where it is needed the most in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And tomorrow, same time, we're going to be talking about how to forgive God. You don't want to miss that because some of us are angry at God. Where was he when I went through what I went through? When he is powerful and when he is everywhere all the time, where was God? And I've got a word for you. And I'm not going to teach you something from a theoretical point of view, but I've been there and I'm just going to testify. And using the word of God, we are all going to discover, listen, how to forgive God. Not only does God forgive you, some of us need to forgive God so that we can let the blessings flow. Blessings on you, my friends. See you tomorrow, same time. Please pray, 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 because that's where the power is and you are ready to go, because de-icing frees you to take off. Take off. Blessings on you.